Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Our Democratic colleagues, when they ask you about Roe versus Wade, now have in mind a right that extends beyond the pregnancy itself.
The Pope has done what he can to shift Catholicism's formal public attitude toward a lot of stuff associated with the sexual revolution.
One of the reasons why evolution as an ideology and a mythology has been so powerful in our day is because it gives a way of thinking about death that's good.
Well, Kelly and I found out we're from different religions.
I thought you and Kelly were both Lutheran.
Oh, well, that's what I thought. Turns out she's Lutheran Church of America. I'm Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Kindergarten teachers from Baltimore love listening to Issues, Etc.
At least my perception is that this little phenomenon is growing more frequent among Christian writers. They will, whether it's a sermon or a blog post, whatever it may be, they will caption or title what they have to say in a provocative way, a way that may even be misleading. It may even be like a misleading headline in order to catch your attention. Maybe that's what they need to do or they think they need to do in this age in which we are literally saturated with communication through social media. We've got to catch people's attention somehow. Here's one: the God who breaks the rules. That sounds like it's intended to catch your attention and be provocative. Now, does it actually deliver? Does the person who talks about the God who breaks the rules, in this case, Pastor Sergio de la Mora, does he mean that God actually breaks rules? Well, we'll find out here on Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome back. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about a teaching by megachurch pastor Sergio de la Mora on the God who breaks the rules. Pastor Chris Roseborough will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Trevor Sutton will join us to talk about social media and religion, especially the influence that social media has over, well, everything else in our lives. Does it exercise an equal influence over people's religious beliefs and practices? Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
I noticed that Sergio de la Mora is called the visionary founder of Cornerstone Church in San Diego. What in the world is a visionary founder, and who is Sergio de la Mora?
Okay, so we've talked about vision casting in the past. In, you know, you can find that in the archives of Issues, etc. And so a visionary founder is the one who claims and alleges that he received the original vision from God for the planting of any particular seeker-driven megachurch and all of its multi-sites. And so Sergio de la Mora is a fellow who believes that he has received direct revelation from God, that God talks to him communicatively, and, like, you know, they actually have dialogue, and that we should expect the same from God as well. And so a visionary founder is kind of akin to a prophetic church planter, is the best way I could put it.
Okay. I want to talk about the general phenomenon before we get into the specifics of what this megachurch pastor is going to teach or not teach. But I have noticed a lot of provocative titles on sermons or on blog posts or on articles that are written by Christians nowadays. Now, part of it is just you're a marketing guy. You understand the need to catch people's attention in a world awash in these things. But when it comes to sermons, sometimes it's really provocative, then it doesn't deliver. And sometimes it sounds like heresy from the beginning. It turns out to be heresy. What do you think is going on there?
Yeah. So in the seeker-driven world, it's all about being relevant, and they make no bones about the fact that they are incessant and habitual marketers. And so, you know, one of the rules of thumb regarding marketing is that you have to find a way to make your product, service, or whatever you're selling stand out against the competition. And so the growing trend within the seeker-driven movement when it comes to the product of sermons, you know, is to name them provocatively. You know, one of the things I remember just a few years ago, Stephen Furtick did an entire sermon series titled The F Word. And of course, the word that he was talking about was forgiveness. But by titling the sermon series that way, it really caused people to go, what? And so, you know, yeah, so they kind of work from the idea of the ends justify the means. As long as you don't actually commit a sin in the, you know, in naming your sermon and your sermon series, then they feel like it's completely fair game. And the problem is that I think they go beyond sinning when they do that, because it's taking the profane and somehow trying to make it sacred, which biblically is those two things do not meet.
Okay, so now that we know who Sergio de la Mora is and where he's coming from in terms of where he thinks he's getting his sermon fodder, what have you brought for us?
All right, we're going to be listening to him from a sermon he delivered not at his home church or part of the satellites, but at Elevate Life Church at the Cathedral of Frisco in Frisco, Texas, which is one of the major flagship evangelical churches today. And we're going to be listening as he's going to be preaching the, you know, the concept, the God who breaks the rules. It's important to understand that by the time we jump into here, soundbite number one, he's read out a portion of 1 Samuel 16, which is that section of scripture where David, as a young man, is anointed to be the king of Israel. And so he had gone, you know, Samuel showed up, all of David's brothers were marched in front of Samuel, and Samuel said, no, that's not the one. And then they bring David in and have him anointed. And so what we're going to be listening to then is what he thinks this text is really conveying to the people in his audience, which also happens to be the major thesis and theology of his book, Paradox, The God Who Breaks the Rules.
I really believe that when we read the Bible, we have to constantly give God permission to do new things in our life. Sometimes what happens is we get stuck in our revelation of God. You know, as your relationship with God matures, God begins to unveil to you parts of him that you didn't know. You know, we never reveal all of who we are to people who we meet. It's over the course of time that we learn new things about them. Did you know that that's how God is? And what I am fascinated about God in this story is that when God wanted to find a new king, he was willing to break social rules, cultural rules, and even religious rules to find David. See, when God said to Samuel, I want to find a new king, and Samuel's first response is, I can't do that. How can I do that? It was like Samuel was saying to God, how can I find another king while the present king is alive? He'll kill me. And what God said to him is, Samuel, I need to help you understand who's asking you to do this. It's me that is asking you to do this. Because you know what can happen without even knowing it? Is you can become so over familiar with God. And then when he asks you to do something, you actually have an argument with him. Because you've known him for so long. And it could very well be that Samuel had been the prophet of God for so long that even he himself had developed some rules that God needed to break in him. Because sometimes we can become so used to God, used to church, used to the Bible, used to even being in a wonderful church like this, hearing worship like this, or maybe you're at McKinney right now, and you're there every week, and through that screen, you hear and see how God is working, and it's so easy to take for granted that you're part of not just a church. This is a move of God that is happening here at Elevate. Come on, somebody.
Okay, so what's he saying there? I got the first part about you got to give God permission to do new things. That kind of got me going, and then he kind of lost me a little bit.
Yeah, this is, you know, there was a little bit of narcissism in there. We'll kind of note that, and some really bad Pelagian theology. And let me explain what Pelagianism is. You know, back in the day, you know, I think it was the 4th century, there was an actual heretic whose name was Pelagius, and he denied the doctrine of original sin, that people are born dead in trespasses and sins. He believed that people are actually born good, you know, that infants are innocent and things like this. And there's a whole theology that spins off of that because the implications are ginormous. And then, you know, evangelicalism is a place where Pelagius is alive and well, or semi-Pelagianism is also alive and well. But here you've got this weird scenario where he says that God wants to reveal things to you about himself, and he wants to do new things in your life. What those are, I have no idea, because the whole concept is vague, and that's not what this text is about. But then again, it's all about you have to give God permission. So this is kind of a vital thing for people in your audience to understand. If they've never been evangelicals, there is a cardinal doctrine in evangelicalism, and the cardinal doctrine is the doctrine of free will. You, according to them, have free will when it comes to the things of God. And therefore, God cannot save you. God cannot help you. God cannot do a new thing in your life. God cannot reveal your purpose to you unless you grant him, through a volitional free will choice of your own, to grant him those things. And it's, and that being the case, I mean, immediately one has to ask the question, who is really God here? Am I God, or is God God? Because if God has to ask me for permission, then that scenario has it as God is not sovereign. I am. I'm the deity. He's the one who's dependent upon me in order to act. And so, I mean, the theology is just abysmal. And nowhere in Scripture does it teach that our salvation or the revealing of our purpose or any of this kind of stuff is dependent upon us giving God permission.
There's another premise in here that I want you to address, and I'm sure you had already, at least in the case of Sergio de la Mora. He believes he personally hears from God, that he actually has, like, conversations with God, the back and forth kind of a thing. And he also seems to believe that all Christians either do or should do this. And is that why he speaks in this term, like, you get so accustomed to God, Samuel was so used to God by this time that he unconsciously made all these rules that God will need to break?
Yes. So you're going to note then something, that this is another form of Bible twisting. This is just straight up called eisegesis, which is the reading into Scripture things that are not there. And in this particular case, he's reading things into this text in 1 Samuel that come off of his experiences through his personal relationship, in this case, verbal dialogue, direct revelation based familiarity with God. He's reading that back into the text. And so by him talking this way about his experiences, what's important then is that the people in the audience, they are being tacitly catechized to believe that as they ascend the ranks and yield more, give more permission to God, that they will experience the same type of conversational familiarity with God that Sergio de la Mora has, and may even be chosen by God for a super special assignment like Sergio de la Mora has been given.
What's next from him?
So now that he's laid the foundation, he's now going to actually start explicitly laying out his theology. And as we listen to this, there's a technique that he's going to use that is very, very well worn in evangelicalism, and that is the giving of lists. Let me explain. So, you know, if an evangelical preacher who doesn't understand law and gospel is, you know, preaching all law, you're doing this wrong and you need to do these things right, oftentimes they'll say, in order for you to get this thing right in your life, there are four steps that you have to follow. Step number one is this thing. Step number two is that thing. And number three and four are these things and another thing. Now, I'm saying it kind of in vagaries like this because here's the thing. You go into the Bible, you will never find that list. Always and again, when somebody is preaching a to-do list like this, or a steps list, or a characteristics list, you will never find a biblical passage that explicitly lays those things out the way they're laying it out. So that's a key that you know you're being deceived, because, again, if this were really the case, I could find in the book of Ephesians, you know, maybe chapter 7 in this particular case, certain, you know, the list that he's giving us, but he's the discoverer of the list, and that's always the case with people like Sergio, but we'll let him kind of spin this out.
Today I want to talk to you about the five characteristics of people with whom God uses to break the rules. God wants to do something new in your life. And I want you to write these five things down, because I really believe one of them has your name on it. One of these points is going to be for you. It's going to be for your marriage. It'll be for your children. Because I believe that today, God woke me up to tell you, he wants to break some rules in you, because he wants to do something new. And today, as you look at this story, I want you to find yourself in this story, because God wants us to discover him as the God who breaks the rules. Number one, would you write this down? The first characteristic of people with whom God breaks the rules are people who give God permission to break their rules. Samuel said, "How can that be?" He actually said to God, "I cannot conceive it in my mind that you want me to do this. How can it be?" And it's so many times we're like that with God. Like, God wants you to step out of your comfort zone. How can that be? And God needed to break the rule in Samuel. The rule that says if there's going to be a king, that he has to look a certain way and be a certain way. And maybe there's rules inside of you today. Rules like, "I will never forgive my parents." Hello. Or like, "I will never forgive my father." Or, "I will never invite my dad." And so what happens is, on the inside of us, we develop these rules. And when I wrote this book, Paradox, The God Who Breaks the Rules, there's a chapter in there called How God Qualifies Unqualified People. And sometimes God needs to break us of our rules to re-qualify us for the next season of our life. Because sometimes we're stuck in a season. And God says, "Let me break the rule in you that says people like you don't get to buy a house. People like you don't get to start a company. People like you don't get to have a strong marriage." Well, I've come to tell you, the God who breaks the rules has come to Frisco, and he wants to see some hearts turn and some lives changed.
Okay, so that sounds to me, you know what I'm reminded of, except for this kind of his delivery, which is, I think he's going to modulate up one more note in the last soundbite, probably. It reminds me of psychic fishing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about, where you kind of throw something out in vagaries, and then if you get a hit, then you kind of drill down into specifics, and you know, until you get another hit, so that you can become even clearer. Yeah, I'm familiar with the technique, because a lot of so-called street prophets use that technique.
He has a list of things, and he came back to his theme of people who give God permission to do these things. What are your thoughts there before we take our break?
Yeah, so number one, he is not rightly handling the biblical text. And this is where it's imperative that people fact check as people quote scripture and tell you it's saying a particular thing. Because he was literally saying, with characteristic number one, that Samuel gave God permission. But if you go back and read 1 Samuel 16, read the first four verses. Verse 4 literally ends with, "Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem." there is nothing in 1 Samuel 16 that implies or even hints at that Samuel was giving God permission to do a new thing in his life. Instead, the whole narrative runs as God came to Samuel, told him to do something. Samuel kind of bucked a little bit because he was afraid for his own life, because, you know, usually if you anoint a new king while the present king is alive, that would be considered treasonous and you end up dead. You know, long live the king. But it says Samuel did what the Lord commanded. And so just a careful reading of scripture and, you know, fact checking to see if what the person is saying actually squares with what the text says will prevent you all, you know, all kinds of woe as far as being deceived. But nobody is there reading with an open Bible, nor do they really even care what the text says, because he's doing a really good job of telling them about themselves.
It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're talking about a teaching by megachurch pastor Sergio de la Mora on the God who breaks the rules. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Roseborough at the 2018 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the teachings of a megachurch pastor, Sergio de la Mora, on the God who breaks the rules. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Dallas, Texas. Attendance is limited to 400. Early bird registration, that's before September 1st, is $110, and that includes three meals. Child care is absolutely free. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org or call Lynn, 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas. Chris, what do we have next from Sergio de la Mora?
All right, so we're going to fast forward now to the end of the sermon. And this, for those of you who've been in evangelicalism or been caught up in a church that has bought into kind of Finneyite, Charles Finney, revivalism. You're going to be very familiar with the technique that De La Mora is using as he's wrapping up his sermon. Now, when I was a Nazarene, and the Nazarene denomination, when I was growing up, was kind of a mixture between Wesleyan Methodism and Finneyite revivalism. It was like a perfect melding of the two concepts. And so I was very familiar from experience that the way a church service would often end is with the pastor kind of with music playing mild, you know, lowly in the background, a little manipulative music. And then, you know, the call for people to repent, to come and make things right with God. And so one of the techniques would be for people to close their eyes and bow their heads. And if they were making a decision to accept Jesus into their life or to make things right with God, they could raise their hand and the pastor would pray for them. Or they can come to the altar, and which is kind of, you know, was their version of the anxious bench, and there would be people who would be there to assist them as they made these important decisions. So De La Mora is going to play on that technique, but he's not calling people to repent of their sins or to, you know, to get right with God in any traditional repentance sense. Instead, it's kind of fascinating how he uses the technique. We'll let him do it, and then we'll comment on it afterwards.
I tell you, he's the God who breaks the rules, people. I said he's the God who breaks the rules. And he'll find you, and he'll call you, and he'll choose you when others have overlooked you. Stand with me today, would you? Let's pray. Everyone just stand. Just look at me. Just look at me. I want to ask you today, if you're here, whether you're in the very corner in the back or whether you're in McKinney right now and you're watching me on this screen, look, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ or you've been away from God and you want to get right with God because you want to get started now, I'm here to tell you that if you'll say yes to God, God will say yes to you. If you'll say yes to His love, He'll say yes to loving you. If you'll say yes to His healing, He'll say yes to healing you. But you have to make the decision to say, I'm going to let my past go. I'm going to serve God from now on. I'm going to get connected in church. I'm going to get serious about a small group. I'm going to turn my back on my old life, and I'm going to turn my heart to God for a new life. If that's you today, I'm going to pray with you the same prayer that I prayed, and I know God will do a miracle in your life. So right where you are, if that's you today and you want to say yes to God, whether you're in McKinney or right here in Frisco, if that's you, quickly hold up your hand because I'm going to pray for you today. God bless you. 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 God bless you.
All right, Chris, that kind of rang a familiar note there, the old altar call as you were talking about it. Take us through the techniques as you promised to do so.
Yeah, so in his particular case, this was all done not in the context of them being confronted with their sin, but them being told that that God's looking for people who exemplify five characteristics, and if you're one of these people and you exemplify one of these characteristics, that God wants to break the rules for you. That's the whole point of the sermon. And then at the very end, the close of the deal is the old-fashioned altar call, you know, with all of the normal trappings, but there was no true call for repentance. And what was very fascinating is that the thing that was missing from the whole sermon was the gospel. And so, you know, never did you hear that Christ bled and died for your sins, the need to repent. And so he said, if you want to make a decision, if you want to give your life to God, well, see, that's completely backwards, because the gospel tells us that Christ gave his life for us. And so you'll note that the consistent theology in all of this held on to that major presupposition of evangelicalism that you have to make a free will decision. And now the free will decision is kind of not only expanded out from, you know, salvation itself, getting right with God, you have to make that decision. But now if you want to be healed by God, you have to give God permission to heal you. If you want to receive a special assignment from God, you have to give God permission to give you a special assignment. And of course, everything is up to you. which ultimately will leave the people there in despair, because when things aren't working out, because God doesn't operate this way, nor does he promise to, when they realize that this is a dead-end road, they are going to find themselves in a pickle because they haven't been rightly taught what Christianity is, and the direction is 180 degrees backwards. The gospel is the good news of Christ coming to us. Being born of the Virgin Mary, suffering under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, buried, descended into hell, and rose again on the third day before you even breathed your first breath on this planet. God did all of that for you without your permission. And so his theology is narcissistic, self-righteous, and completely not even remotely in line with what God's word actually teaches. And it's really kind of abysmal and frightening to listen at this, all at the same time.
Two questions in that vein. What does God actually do in this kind of theology?
He's waiting in the wings. The God I picture of evangelicalism in this kind of theology is kind of like that awkward, nerdy junior high girl who shows up to her junior high dance, and it's there inside the basketball gymnasium, and she's off to the side. She's not dancing with anybody, and kind of hoping that somebody notices her and brings her out on the dance floor. That's the God of evangelicalism. He's like that awkward junior high girl, kind of wringing his hands going, oh, I hope somebody picks me to dance with me. I really can help some people in their lives, but they just got to give me permission. Please give me a chance. Just get me onto the floor. I could really, and it's absurd when you think about it. It's 180 degrees backwards, but such is the orientation of our sinful nature. We think that we're God. That's the problem.
And then with only a couple minutes here, Chris, you mentioned here we have this, and I think this is altogether common, a sermon that ends with an altar call, but the gospel hasn't been preached. What are people being asked to do then? I mean, at least Billy Graham said make a decision for Christ, but if you got no gospel in there, what's left in an altar call when there's no gospel that's been preached, no Christ crucified for you that's been proclaimed to believe in?
Well, in this particular case, we'll come back to the psychic fishing technique. So, are you having struggles in your marriage? Are your children misbehaving? Are your finances a little bit out of whack? Are you up to your eyeballs in debt? Is your boss not recognizing your potential? I mean, these are all kind of the different themes that he was picking up on. So, the idea then is that he threw out kind of shotgun style all of these particular issues or problems that God really truly wants to help solve in your life, but he needs permission, he needs you to sign a slip, permission slip before he can do so. And so the idea then is that vagary in the psychic fishing portion of the sermon carries now to the conclusion. So it's kind of whatever the person is at that point is believing for, that's what they're making a decision for. So they're deciding for all kinds of different things depending on what exactly is the current pain in their life that they're experiencing, that he somewhat vaguely said that God wants to kind of solve, and that's the issue. There was no gospel, because the biblical gospel teaches that Christ died for our sins. And that is what reconciles us to God. The problem the gospel solves is our alienation from God because of our sinful rebellion against him. And that didn't even get an honorable mention in this sermon.
So with only 30 seconds, there are people walking away from this thinking that they've become a Christian, and they haven't.
Yeah. That's correct. That's the sad part about it. They are false converts in the truest sense of the word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ, and they haven't heard the word of Christ. They haven't heard the gospel. And so you've literally got goats who are being told that they are sheep, and they will, given enough food and strength of their own, in these types of churches, will be actively hostile against God's true shepherds, and also hostile to Christ's true sheep, because they've never been brought to penitent faith in Christ, and they're not trusting him for the forgiveness of sins. They're trusting him to solve their present temporal upsets.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, Pastor Trevor Sutton joins us. He's written recently a column titled How Facebook is Transforming Religion. We will talk about social media and its influence over, well, almost everything in our lives. Should we include in that almost everything, even our religious beliefs and practices? We'll be right back. You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During August, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Lutheran Education Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and Confession and Absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.